down, location mysterious. Wanna rock this con like my man James Tiberius.
Jesse and Marina, they're mad clever like the Negus. Gonna guide you through the scenes, beam from London to Las Vegas. Where to go, how to dress, when to sleep, who to see. Celebs not to miss, Curtis Wong and SMG. Star Trek into awesome, build some memories at last. Set the proper course, the Shore Leave Podcast. Boom.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the 51st episode of Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. I'm Marina Kravchuk, co-host of this podcast. And with me, as usual, my friend and fellow conventioneer, shenanigans liker, Jesse Akendo. How are you today?
I am good. That is probably the most funnest introduction I've gotten from you, Marina. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm happy to be here, and it is my job to do the housekeeping portion so everybody knows what's going on and why we're here. So just so you know, Shore Leave is part of the Tricorder Transmissions Network. And if you enjoy what you do here, what we do here on Shore Leave or on any of the other Tricorder Transmission shows, please consider joining our Patreon. You can go directly to patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. Or visit our network page at thetricordertransmissions.com and click on the Patreon link. Becoming a patron will always get you an access to unedited and early release episodes, often with bonus materials before or after the show, and an invitation to regular Patreon hangouts with the Tricorder Transmission host and fellow patrons. Our network has recently updated the Patreon tiers with some new great perks and benefits. Make sure to check them out. We thank all of our patrons for your support. It really helps to grow our network and produce more shows. And with that, Marina, I'm giving it back to you. I'm excited about this conversation. We got a star here today.
Yes, shockingly, we're already in spring. Now, usually it's a little bit of a slower time as far as convention season is concerned. I think for most people, it tends to kick up sometime in May, April, May. Nevertheless, there are conventions ongoing all the time. And we are going to be talking about the Big Apple Comic Con, which is a boutique Comic Con, pretty old, over 20 years old, and it's the oldest continuously running comic convention in New York. I didn't know that. This was a very interesting thing for me to find out, and it's pretty thrilling because, you know, it seems like, you know, we mostly speak about the purely Star Trek conventions or conventions that have very strong Star Trek features and elements, but it's kind of interesting sometimes to visit with a different, well, I wouldn't say genre, but with a different type of convention. And in this case, we're also talking to an event that is, I don't want to use the word remnant, but this is sort of a very classical, very traditional comic convention in many ways. But which, incidentally, this year in particular, did have some nice track elements, which we're going to talk about. And joining Jesse and I to talk about this convention is the returning Shore Leave guest, our good friend and the fellow STLV veteran, Michael Nguyen. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Marina and Jesse, thank you so much for having me. It is a great pleasure to be on board, so thanks for inviting me, and thanks for all you guys do for the Star Trek Las Vegas community and beyond. You guys are amazing.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. So a Big Apple Comic Con. I know that you go to plenty of different events, Michael. How do you yourself know about this particular convention? What made you decide to check it out? If you tried it before, what made you go this year in particular?
Well, you know, I guess there was a time where I was just getting into conventions. I mean, a couple of years ago, and I just was Googling frantically for anything that had the word convention and, like, you know, anywhere in my locale. And I was like, I'll go to this. And Big Apple Comic Con was one of those. And I think at the time it was called New York Comic Book Marketplace. Mm-hmm. It seems to be like a collaborative that does several small conventions in the area. Also Winter Con and Eternal Con. I think they're all kind of run and organized by the same people. So that's how I found out about it. And it's just a fun thing to do on a weekend. So, yeah, it's been great.
Hey, Michael, I have a question for you because, like, I've known you ever since I started going to conventions, which is now probably 6 years, right? So how did you get, like, I've heard you say before that, like, you're recent, like, you know, within the amount of time. So how'd you get start into it, and what keeps you coming back to these conventions?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, it's my origin story. I think my first convention was, we can go back in time, like was actually for my 13th birthday. And it was a Creation Con in Pennsylvania, and Leonard Nimoy was actually one of the big guests there. So that was a long time, but then I had a long break, you know, went to a small convention in Texas I had heard about, but really nothing for a while. And I think, someone passed on to me when I moved to New York. They said, hey, there's this thing called New York Comic Con, back when it was very easy to get tickets. And that was my first one. And then, I was going to that for like a year or two. And then I really got into the Star Trek Wrath of Khan costume. And I was like looking on Facebook, who has one? Where do you get one? And there was a group of people that had them, and they all went to this Star Trek Las Vegas thing. And they were like, you should come. And I was like, maybe we'll see. And of course you guys know, I went, and I guess I've been bit by the bug and keep coming back. So, yep. So that's kind of where I got started into it.
Yeah. And, Marina, before we go on, I will tell you that I met Michael, my first convention, 6 years ago in Vegas. And this is just the way the Star Trek community is. It took Michael, to introduce me to someone who lived in the city that I lived in, because he knew her from Las Vegas. So we apparently were at the same convention. He got us both on Messenger, and Karen and I have been great friends ever since. But if it wasn't for Michael and Star Trek, I would have not even known Karen was in my hometown. So
that's how it works.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I will tell you that Michael is a great host with the New York City away team, like you are. So anytime I've had a chance to go to New York, I've always end up at O'Looney's and hanging out with you guys. And so you guys really are hospitable. I want to thank you both for that. And sorry I couldn't be at this convention, but I look forward to hearing what you guys got out of it.
Absolutely. So just to give a basic rundown, it's something that, as I already mentioned, this is a pretty old convention, especially by modern, standards. You know, different events keep popping up and, well, occasionally disappearing very quickly. But this is something that has been around since 1996. For a while, there was a period where this convention actually belonged to Wizard Entertainment, that puts up all those large Comic-Cons in Philadelphia, Chicago, and just generally across the United States. And I discovered to my own surprise that actually I have gone to one of their events at the, I think it was called New York Experience. They couldn't call it New York Comic Con because obviously the actual New York Comic Con was already in place. But this for me, this was actually the first experience with Big Apple, now that it's back to this particular brand. So I was very curious to check it out myself. And it's your, how do we even begin to talk about this? This is a very interesting, because this is like, in true sense of the word, an urban convention, a very local convention. It's located in Hotel Pennsylvania, which is of note because this is the location of the former Statler Hotel, the home of the very first Star Trek convention back in the early 70s. So let's talk about this. So Michael, what did you generally feel about this convention? Were you really looking forward to it? Did you get out everything that you wanted to get out of this particular event?
Yeah, I think, to kind of step back for a second, conventions are really interesting, and they definitely, that kind of adage of you get out what you put into it, mm-hmm. It totally applies. But also, I've also found, Jesse, you helped me kind of bring me back in time to my earlier days in conventions, and what I look for out of conventions has changed as I get older. And I think the sooner we all recognize that, the happier of a time you can kind of have. Before I really wanted to maximize every single minute of the convention. I mean, I still kind of do. It was like, I got to be there when it opens and I got to be there when it closes. And then I'm still going to mill around outside until like they tell me, hey, like it's over, you got to leave. I think nowadays it's like, I want to go to something for a couple hours, see some friends, see some cool stuff, maybe sit on a cool panel. And if I do that in the course of a day or a half day, that's fine. It doesn't have to be like two full pack days. So, a longer answer to your short question. But I think I definitely did have fun. I saw some old friends, made some new ones. I'm sure we can get into it later, but I got to chat with Brent Spiner, and that was really cool, and reconnect with Larry Nemechek in person, Dr. Trek himself, and then just hanging out with you guys. Like, we had dinner afterwards, which was fun. So, totally had fun. Totally had a great time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I've been going consistently to the conventions for, 10 years straight now. And I have noticed the same thing, that the reason why I go to conventions change, what I do when I go to a convention, kind of the modus operandi has changed over the years, and what I get out of the conventions changed as well. I did the same thing. I did show up at the opening both days, but I actually only spent literally just Saturday there as a whole day, with, you know, counting our dinner afterwards. Sunday, I literally just came in, got the autograph I was looking for, and then basically left, because I was like, okay, mission accomplished. This was fun. This is enough. You know, I don't need to actually hang around for the entire day. Not to mention, there was an unfortunate edit factor of really bad weather, but that was actually a minor factor. I was basically done. So let's talk about just, you know, the general vibe of the con, you know, like, how would you compare it to other Comic Cons? How would you compare it to track specific events, if you will? I mean, track specific, it's tricky because there aren't that many old track conventions out there anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think this is definitely a unique convention. You know, I think there is the conventions that everyone knows and we love, you know, the big ones like Vegas and New York Comic Con, and they're very commercial, and it's a lot of new releases and announcements and stuff, and it's very exciting. This, I think, is the kind of convention that, you know, folks might remember from sort of back in the day. There's a very nostalgic kind of quality to it, which makes it fun. You know, I mean, you go through the vendors area, and there are all kinds of things from, you know, new Star Wars figures to, like, used Star Trek figures, and maybe scripts or programs. My friend Nick talks about this convention being cool because it's sort of the finding the thing that is a fun part of the journey. Like, you can Amazon and eBay everything that you want, but this is kind of, it's almost like a little adventure, like a treasure hunt, because you never know what cool artifact you'll run into, or an unexpected guest. So it's kind of if that kind of explains it, very nostalgic, a little bit of a treasure hunt, and a fun thing to do. For me, I think maybe one day is good. For some people, they want to be there for the entirety.
Yeah, absolutely. I found it to be very old style, like when they say a comic convention, that's kind of like what comic conventions used to be. We had primarily, stress on the word comic. I mean, you've noticed how many vendors there were with all these, you know, collectibles, basically everything comic related, just, you know, boxes and boxes of comic books, etc. Many Comic Cons of larger size, you know, whether we're talking New York Comic Con or Philadelphia Comic Con, that part, the actual comic books, tends to be, well, slightly pushed aside. They have like several aisles usually, but the bulk of the vendor hall is occupied by collectibles and toys and games, you name it. So it is a throwback in many ways to sort of this traditional Comic Con version. So you mentioned, you know, meeting up with friends. I think this kind of was the sort of convention where, for me at least, it was a big factor for going, because I knew a lot of familiar faces are going to be there, not only specifically Vegas, even though there were quite a few fellow veterans, but just our local community. I mean, I counted there were people from at least, three, four different local track fan groups, right?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, when I first got to the convention, you know, And it's so funny because, Jesse, you know, I remember when you were brand new to Star Trek Vegas, and you were like, hey, guys, you know, if, you know, I'm new, and, you know, look out for me and stuff. And like, now you're like hosting socials and stuff. And,
yeah, you know, Jesse, that's really coming to his own.
Yeah, you're like the concierge. Yeah, you know, and it's kind of like, but as that kind of network develops, it's kind of cool that, like, I mean, I'm really confident that, you know, definitely in New York City and certainly other cities as well, like, Star Trek fans can go in there, and there's probably going to be, you know, like, Darlena had her New York cosplay group with Star Trek fans, or, you know, maybe there's the Iwo Jima group, or the, you know, the Growler group, or our away team. You're going to run into somebody. who's in a Star Trek costume, and they're going to pull you in and treat you like family. So so that was kind of the first thing I got in there. And the first thing I went to was, you know, that table of Star Trek fans. So it was, yeah, you're absolutely right. Lots of welcoming, lots of positivity. You know, it was also kind of cool to see Star Trek fans from the away team group cosplaying like other things that had nothing to do with Star Trek, but it's like they connected with someone who loves what they love. So lots of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was basically keeping track of things online before I decided to go. And so, you know, seeing that people were like, okay, the New York City Star Trek meetup group, they're the ones whose table it was actually. But, you know, considering how much of a cross-pollination, in quotation marks, it is between the groups, it's for the most part, it's the same people you'll come across in other crew. There are several weekend hangouts that were planned. And as far as I know, well, one of them happened because USS Growler was celebrating their 50th anniversary, so that was a Friday night sort of a pre-con party, if you will, that was quite well attended. There was supposed to be one hosted by USS Iwo Jima, but I'm not quite sure about the reason. It could be because of the weather, and unfortunately it got canceled. And we had our own little get together, sort of like this slash let's welcome Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, to New York slash New York City away team a little bit slash Portal 47 dinner in the evening on Saturday. So that was a great fun. So let's see, what else?
I'm gonna complain a bit, and I'll tell you why. Because I saw this stuff happening, and I'm from that area, so the first thing I saw was the Growler reunion, and I saw like Johnny Martin, who's a friend of mine from high school, and so Johnny's the guy who I knew from high school, and we reunited at my first Star Trek convention. So,
wow. Oh wow,
which was in Vegas. And so ever since, when I go to New York, we go hang out with Johnny and Michael and that whole gang. But then you guys had Larry Nemechek there, Portal 47. And
yeah, we're Nemechek, kind of a big deal.
Yes, we are.
And he's from Oklahoma. So I've seen Larry every year in Oklahoma at the local convention there. And I'm like, what is he doing over there? And
is the SoonerCon? That's the one?
Yeah. And I was excited because, like, somebody posted something about Larry misses you or something. I was like, oh, Larry, I wish I was there. And then you guys had more reunions. And I'm like, you know, I moved to Atlanta, but I should have maybe moved to New York at this
point. I am in favor of that. I'll support that motion, you know.
Same thing. But, you know, just at the very least, we're always going to have Vegas.
Yeah. But, yeah, you guys rocked it in terms of, I know how the conventions are that aren't just Star Trek specific, but you guys rocked it in terms of finding yourselves and finding the family, you know, that we're so used to in any convention we go to. And I was so excited to see it happen. So thanks for sharing the pictures.
Absolutely. And it's same thing. It's that's the important part when you actually have that connection. And in this case, it was, as I mentioned, this is an older style convention, yet it had this, perhaps to some unexpected track element. But it was actually, from my understanding, is one of the organizers was actually specifically looking to have track representation at the convention. So the New York City Star Trek meetup group was invited, and they were provided with the table, and quite a few, you know, fellow fans showed up properly in uniform. So Trek was very well represented for, I suppose, a smaller non-Trek event like this. Overall, speaking of like the attendance, like you were speaking conventions are so different in sizes. I mean, and Comic-Con, especially right now, people tend to think in tens of thousands of people, if not hundreds. In this case, this is not that crazy. My understanding, I asked around and I was told that over the years, the attendance was on the low end, about 4,500 people, on the upper end, somewhere around 7,000. So this is, you know, over the period of 2 days, this is not too crazy. This is like a nice convention where you don't feel overcrowded. You can actually enjoy yourself. You have an opportunity to check out the vendor room and the artist alley, and to, you know, not to have too crazy of lines if you decide to go and, you know, meet any of the guests. And speaking of guests, shall we just actually, you know, say, you know, introduce what we saw at the convention, who was there? Why don't you take it away, Mike?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was hanging out at Darlena's table, and I ran into some folks, and we were taking pictures. And they're like, "All right, well, we're going to go see Brent Spiner." And I was like, "Oh, wait, like, what time is that?" And they're like, "It's going on right now." So we went straight to the panel room, and we came in right in the middle. That's where I ran into you. I saw you sitting, yeah, you know, right in the row behind me. And so that was really cool. I mean, Brent Spiner is a great act on stage, and so much fun for people to talk to and ask questions. So that was definitely one of the very notable guests, I'd say.
Absolutely. Well, we already mentioned Larry. And first of all, you know, just to it was a bit of a surprise to me, given that this is Larry Nemecek. This was actually his first appearance at a New York convention as a guest. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So he was not only as a guest, and he had his own table. So I'm glad to see that quite a few people have stopped by and wanted to find out. They wanted to talk track. They wanted to find out about Portal 47. But in addition, he had hosting duties. So he hosted two of the panels, one of them being with Brent Spiner, which was absolutely hilarious. And another really wonderful discussion with David Gerald. That's another track thing. David was there. Fantastic panel. He had all his books at the table, so anyone could just stop by and talk about, well, track specifically or sci-fi writing in general, which is wonderful. Of course, the biggest name of the weekend was William Shatner. I think that was
the best for last.
That's what they were pushing for in terms of, like, really having track presence at Big Apple Comic Con. And they even had, like, a special VIP meet and greet where 40 people could basically sign up for this. I mean, well, sign up, buy a ticket. And then you had more or less a very intimate semi-panel meet and greet with, I suppose, some photos or something else. I did not do this because I've had the pleasure and the honor of meeting Mr. Shatner many times, so I decided to pass on that and just enjoy the convention in general. Peter David was there, the Star Trek writer, and also Red Shirts, which we as the local fans, we know them from our get-togethers at Aloni's.
They do the Christmas carols for our holiday party.
So. All-female improv group that is great, great fun, very talented ladies. So overall, just generally, as a convention, for a smaller event like that, they had a very nice selection across genres. There were actors from... let's see, there was Coulter from Daredevil.
Gigi Edgley was there, from Farscape and Star Trek Continues. So she was awesome. I got to talk to her for a bit and get some pictures with her. She was a riot.
Yeah. And so overall, there was just a nice spread. So whatever you were in, I mean, there were some unusual guests. Like, for instance, there was Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Musical legend. They had Kathleen Turner, which was actually one of, I have met her before, but that was the autograph that I was looking for to get.
Oh, wow.
It was a nice spread. And in that regard, I enjoyed myself greatly. Now, did you do any autographing or photo ops by yourself?
So I did one with Brent Spiner. I was actually his last photo op for the day and came in super late. And I got to talk to him for a bit because I love this web series that he did a couple of years ago called Fresh Hell.
Fresh
and I think it's still out there on YouTube. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he plays himself, which is great. And then I did a picture with Gigi Edgley, and she was awesome. She was like, "Let's get somebody else to take our pictures instead of doing a selfie." And I think we took like 15 pictures. She wanted to do like four different poses. Like, she's like, "Let's do a goofy one. Let's do, you know." So those were the two that I did. And I didn't really plan on doing those, but, you know, they were there. Very reasonable cost as far as pictures go. It was like $30 or something like that. But so those are the two that I did.
Yeah. I did the selfie and the autograph with Kathleen Turner, so it's not exactly track, but it was very enjoyable because she has a phenomenal sense of humor and just generally a very interesting person to talk to. I have gone to two of the panels that Larry hosted with David Gerald and Brent Spiner, which were great fun. And then for the most part, I have to admit, this is probably the first convention that I spent where majority of my time was actually taken up by hanging out with fellow friends, primarily near Larry's table. We just chatted. Several folks from Roddenberry Network was there. Ilya from Priority One and Sue from Women at Warp. So we just had tremendous fun. Just you literally sitting there like, okay, Star Trek. And that's
right.
That was it. But it's something that you noted, and I wanted to kind of elaborate on that. This was, you know, given this is a Comic-Con, a pretty affordable event, all in all. This is not something that's tremendously expensive. It's very affordable. Anyone can go to it. It's a two-day convention, single-day tickets. If you pre-purchase them, were $30 a piece, or it was $45 if you were doing a two-day version. So I do not recall what the VIP thing for Shatner was. It was much more expensive than this. But as a general experience, where you know you just go and you can literally meet pretty much, well, whoever was the guest, there were no limitations, is very, very, it's well, almost cheap.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know about you guys. Like, I know you guys do a lot more, you do a lot of professional photo ops, I think, in Vegas, but sometimes I kind of like just the, you know, one taken in like a casual setting, you know, rather than the, you know, high school yearbook marbleized backdrop. So it's also cheaper. So.
Now, as far as like the vendor room, I think tangentially that kind of will bring us into discussion of the space itself. Did you enjoy going through the vendor room or the artist's alley? I found that it was very unusually arranged. I suppose unusually is a bit of a mild word because it was you can actually get lost going through those aisles.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of the challenges that any event is going to run into, especially in New York City, is finding the space that you want at the cost that you want. So like, I mean, when you talk about like rental storefronts in, you know, someplace like Times Square, you know, you're talking, you know, literally like upwards of, you know, anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 per square foot. So, you know, finding a space, I mean, I don't know how that translates to like renting a venue, but at the cost of the space that you want, it's kind of tough. So, you know, it is, yeah, you're right. It's a little, you know, mazy, I guess. And I think some people were trying to figure out like, what is the space normally used for when it's not,
you know? I was so curious about
that. Was that you, I think?
Yes, it probably was. I think I mentioned it to at least four or five different people. I finally spoke to a gentleman who has been a vendor for this particular convention for a very long time. I mean, he was literally he's like, back in 98, my table was, or whatever. He's like, he just basically gave me a whole download because apparently this particular, it's this sort of the side pavilion, if you will. It's a former store space. There used to be, at some point, there was Sports Authority in there. So it's basically it's something that's not specifically meant as a convention or a conference facility like many hotels normally do, you know, with conference rooms that can be rearranged to host conventions or conferences. In this case, it's a store space. So yeah, so the toilets are not necessarily obvious, you know, because they would be tucked away in the corners away. And you have lots of like sort of open space in the middle that kind of like, well, what are you supposed to do here? Well, of course, there was some sort of probably, I don't know what Sports Authority, you know, like, I don't know, sports clothes that was probably there. But whatever it is, it's a nice space because it's all in one spot. In a way, so once you reach Hotel Pennsylvania, which is very easy, incidentally, that's why I meant it's like it's a true urban convention. You have access via pretty much every subway line, I think, for that particular location. It's all in one space. It's double height, so they didn't have really much space on the ground floor, but it's mostly second floor, plus that little Bowels of the Ship ballroom, the cellar of the actual hotel where all the main panels were. But it's all very, very compact in a way. It just at some point it kind of throws you when you go up the escalator and all of a sudden it's like tables, columns, and the space is that's not particularly geometrical in a way or perhaps too geometrical. So it feels like, yeah, I'm not quite, you know, you have to have a map at first to kind of orient yourself. In that regard, the convention space kind of threw me a little bit because I didn't expect it to be... some people say, oh, it's so cramped. I didn't find it to be cramped or crowded. Once you figured out the flow of, you know, if you go this way, it's the artist alley. If you turn that way, you're going to come back into the main space where the guest stars are sitting. It's all pretty straightforward. Anything else that we should touch upon as far as like just generally about the convention itself before we slowly but surely start coming to some sort of a closure?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a fun time. You know, I mean, I think it's for me, it's a convention that, you know, I can go to for maybe a half day or a day and, you know, see everyone and see everything that I want to do. You know, they've been that ring of convention circuits have given me some opportunities to, like, I got to interview Nichelle Nichols a couple of years ago. You know, they let me do a panel once on what inspires your cosplay kind of thing. So, you know, if people are looking for something that is open to programming ideas, and then if you enjoy, like, you know, I want to go and see what kind of cool toy or thing that I can get from the 80s or 90s, you know, from my childhood or something. This is definitely a fun con to go to. And then, of course, seeing all you guys is great. You know, the only thing we're missing is Jesse. That's the one thing we're missing.
I'm going to try now because you know how I am. Like, once somebody throws a convention out there, it's a challenge for me to make.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
So I was going to say that, you know, the funny thing, it was like, you know, I mean, the last big convention that I went to, I think, was New York Comic Con. So it's been a while. But so it's like Friday night, we had the Growler anniversary party, you know, and I don't know if you saw the video of us singing the Enterprise theme song. It's probably better if nobody sees that. But, but you know, that was like Friday night. And then like Saturday, you know, we all went out to dinner with Dr. Trek. And then I think Sunday, some of the fans got to, and I kind of had to press pause on Saturday. I was like, Saturday is going to be my last night out. Like, I'm slowly training up, you know, for my, for the Vegas in August. Like, I need to get better at staying out late, but it's not going to be tonight. So, yeah. So anyway, it was like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like a mini train up, kind of party and hangout wise for Vegas.
You know, in a way. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was just literally trying a new thing because I find that the smaller events, something that's very local, especially something that's has been there for a long time, is just fun to check out because you never know what other things are out there until you try them. So I enjoyed myself immensely. I mean, I think like right now we could probably talk a little bit like what was the real favorite and perhaps some things that were surprising or not entirely up to par. But overall, I enjoyed this convention. I will certainly, you know, keep track of it. It gets added into, I have my little list of all the conventions I've ever gone to. And once the convention season starts to sort of like, you know, the web pages start to get updated, I kind of start keep tracking and, you know, seeing is it something that's worth coming back to again. Let's just very, like anything on your mind, something that really, really stood out, I mean, besides chatting with Brent Spiner, and was there anything that kind of threw you or was kind of more of a meh moment? Because, I mean, you know, not all, you know, conventions are not always all positive, all great, all fantastic.
I guess, you know, I mean, if I had to kind of encapsulate like a few just kind of cool Trek things, you know, number one, I would say was Darlena's table was cool because she had the cutouts, the cardboard cutouts for Worf and Geordi.
And those so, like, originals, people, incidentally. Those
yeah, originals. And the originals too, yeah. And so it was fun, you know, you could pose there for some really cool pictures. That was one, and having a fellow fan base kind of where you could always find your Trekkies. Number two, I think, you know, was just definitely getting that. I mean, I know you already mentioned it, but getting to just chat with Brent Spiner about stuff that's not Star Trek. I mean, I love Star Trek and any chance I can get to talk about it, but it was kind of neat to just interact with him, just chat about it. And there was no line. So it wasn't like you're pressured to kind of hurry up. And then I think honestly, just spending time with you guys, like you, me and Larry and all of our friends who joined us on Saturday, and just getting to talk about stuff, you know, like I love partying with you guys, but it's also fun to sit down and have dinner and like a conversation. So those were my three favorite things. That was it.
I'm gonna second pretty much everything. I have to say I didn't spend too much time at the table because I just kept making rounds, and then like I said, I hung around by Larry's table mostly. I did enjoy going through the vendor room because it's one of those things where any Comic-Con, regardless of size, you never know what you're going to find. And there were several pretty interesting vendors that I didn't necessarily expect to see. There was one table, the Museum of Interesting Things, that had some pretty wild things that he was like, my goodness, where did you get these? Like, we're talking collectibles on, you know, practically historical level. Like they had the old style. I mean, it's not even the gramophone. That thing was playing. That's wow. not the vinyl. This is before the vinyls. This is, you know, he was playing tubes. So it was a phenomenal thing just to see, because it's just so beautifully random, you know. There were a couple of food vendors, which is always appreciated, because, you know, you run through you know, again, regardless of the convention size.
Oh, yeah, the root beer guys.
Yeah, Wild Bill's. It's right. an old-fashioned traditional soda, and I actually see them pretty much at every Comic-Con here on the East Coast. So I've seen them at New York Comic-Con. I've seen them at the Philadelphia Comic-Con. This one, I'm pretty sure they were at the New York Experience, which was about 6 years ago, I think. So it's you know, it looks like this giant barrel, and you can go up and buy soda. And I think I have a selection of about six or seven. Vanilla is especially good.
Is that the ones that, like, you can get it in, like, a mug, like a yes. metal mug?
Oh, yes, this gorgeous mug, and then you can, of course, come back. And as a matter of fact, you can bring it to a different event, and then you can get soda at a discount. So
I'm literally in my room looking at my Wild Bill cup from 2015, which is now mostly filled with, like, pennies, so I probably won't drink from it again, but it's still here. So
yeah. Well, those people get around, because the last time I saw them was in Calgary last year for the Fan Expo. So
yeah, well, there you
they
go.
They make the rounds.
Yeah, no, but it's a fun thing. It kind of becomes a staple. I actually have two mugs of their own. I got a smaller one at the Big Apple, and then I have a larger one that was actually from the Firefighters Weekend that USS Intrepid hosts every summer. So this is from, again, going back 4 or 5 years, I stopped by and I just couldn't resist, because it's just such fun, you know, metal mugs.
They probably do well at Vegas, I'd assume. I mean,
I would think so, yeah, but I really don't know how that all ties in, especially. I tend to see food vendors primarily at Comic-Cons, not genre-specific conventions. So that's really, as far as the favorite bits, you know, I enjoyed the meeting the fans immensely. I loved just going through and seeing what the Comic-Con had to offer in terms of actual things. And, of course, the guests. The things that were a little bit off, but it's just something that you kind of notice automatically after having gone to many conventions. Like I said, the space kind of threw me a little bit. It was just, at first you had to have the map. It was a little bit too warm. And I don't know if it was because of this really bad weather that we were having this particular weekend, and they just cranked up the heating or something. But because there is no coat check, it kind of felt like there's certain parts of the space. It felt like, oh my God, I feel like I'm just gonna, I don't know, I can cook eggs. Interesting thing, as far as the crowd itself, this is not a negative thing. Forgive me. I'm just bringing this up because it's just kind of running through my mind. I noticed that this convention was very different from many others that I attended, just in terms of, I suppose, the gender and the age. It seemed to be a little bit disproportionate. Like, for instance, I noticed that there were many more men, for instance, there were plenty of women, but it really, you kind of walk through the crowd and it was mostly men, kind of on the older side. Sunday seemed to be a little bit more variable, and I don't know why it was. Perhaps more people wanted to meet the guests, and they could only make it on a Sunday. But Saturday, it was like I was walking around, like it feels like it's a little bit of an older fandom crowd. So that's kind of the interesting thing. Something that Larry did at the beginning of each of his hosted panels, he actually asked people, like, which convention brought you into fandom. So that's always interesting to know, because it kind of gives you an idea of specifically Trek crowd who's present. And for the most part, again, it was older fans that were brought in either by the original series or the Next Generation. So that's kind of an interesting thing to observe. So all in all, that's my take on the convention.
So what do you guys think, what makes that convention unique, right? So, like, every convention has that one thing that just makes it unique. Like, what is it for this one? I guess I'm curious, what makes it different than New York Comic Con?
Well, you can't really compare, pardon the pun, it's not apples to apples, because let's face it, in New York Comic Con at this stage is an industry level event. That's either, as they call them, the tent pole event of the year, along with San Diego. It's so big and it's so, you know, whatever happens in New York Comic Con gets reported, you know, in mainstream media, that sort of thing. Whereas this is, you know, your, as I said, your classic traditional Comic-Con that's far more fan-based and fan-oriented rather than industry. So that certainly is a big difference. But as far as unique, that's, I suppose that's exactly it about it, because it's not exactly, you know, not this another monster of an event, which are now pretty common, but you sort of have a way to kind of step back and, you know, not have too crazy of a weekend, but just to kind of, you know, relax and check out what's out there and while meeting fellow fans and some interesting guests.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, where I am in my life right now, I think one or two big cons a year, and maybe one or two smaller ones is kind of what I have space for. I think, you know, one thing that we don't think about is how much each hour of a convention is costing you. So like if you bought a 1-day pass to some big convention, that's maybe, you know, $60 or $70, you know, if the floor is open for 6 hours, then it's $10 an hour. So like at New York Comic Con, you know, some autographs and pictures you're going to go to are going to require you to really be in line for probably about half of that day. So, you know, I think that, do you remember Carrie Fisher? Yeah. Marina, did you line up for her at all? Or I mean,
no, this is one of my biggest regrets. I planned to, and unfortunately by the time I was like, okay, I'm going to do it, the ticket sold out. So, I met her at a different event, but no, I do remember the lines though, but which happens happened at every event that she attended, that the lines would be like literally around the building.
And it was like that, you know, too, with Stan Lee. And so, you know, like everyone thinks in terms of, oh, I bought this photo op and it was, you know, $100. But the reality is that if you spent $60 for the pass to get into the convention and half of that time you're not doing anything other than standing in line, then the truth is that the cost of that autograph is really like $130 or $140 because you're literally exclusively only being in line. So, I like nerd out with numbers sometimes. Like I was really bad at math in grade school, but like now I understand it and wish I was better at it.
The power of conventions.
What did Tilly say? This is the power of math,
of
people.
Math.
So, you know, but then if you look at like the great thing with, I think, Big Apple Comic Con is, you know, it was I would say comparatively to other conventions, it's a low cost to enter. So it's like, it was $30 to get in and you can have a selfie. A couple, I mean, they're, you know, I took, like I said, like Gigi Edgley, I mean, I don't know if it was part of her customer service relations, but I almost felt like, man, am I the star here? Cause she wants like 5-6 pictures. You get to have a conversation and, you know, she talked to me about a show that she's doing with her brother at the Way Station, which is a Doctor Who themed bar here in New York. You know, Brent Spiner. So, you know, you can have these moments in these conversations. There was no line. For either of these people. Like, I mean, at the time, I mean, it was towards the end of the day and there was no one pressuring me to like hurry up and move on and, you know, please don't talk to the actors. So it was like, if you want a chance to see some of these actors in a smaller environment, well, you'll actually have a moment or, you know, a conversation, you know, and get to have a few pictures, not kind of like a picture, push in, move on. This is the kind of place to do it. And kind of at a fraction of the cost, but just expectation management. Of course, it is not New York Comic Con. It is, like, to use your term, it is not the same in terms of the scope and the size of a Star Trek Vegas. But that doesn't mean that you still can't have some fun, cool moments in there. So,
yeah. So overall, I guess we can summarize it and say that, you know, if an opportunity comes along, there's going to be some interesting events, guests, or anything, both of us will attend this convention again.
Yeah, and the one complaint I have, and I'm going to take this to the grave, is that they did not have Jesse Akendo, and I'm going to write to them about that. So they're going to hear about it.
I wasn't that popular when I lived there.
No. It's always, you know, if we had transporter technology, we could beam all of our friends to every convention ever. So
yeah.
You know, the greatest, like, I no longer travel for a living, which I don't miss, except for where I got to, like, visit. Most of the reasons I got to different conventions was because of work, right? And I was always in different areas of the country. So I missed that. And so when this year, now that I'm not traveling, it's kind of like I don't miss the work, but I miss the traveling quite a bit. Mm.
Well, we miss you too. So
yes,
thank you.
Speaking of missing, you know, fellow fans and fellow friends in track, something that we Jesse and I discussed before, and we wanted to bring up sort of another feature for this particular episode. I know that the whole thing about the away teams has been brought up before, and well, online certainly, and we have it actually at an official Star Trek Las Vegas group. We have that as one of the pinned posts so that people are aware that such thing exists and how, you know, you can make your own. But Mike, since you're the person to talk to about the away teams, can you do a small spiel and introduction and basically talk about a little bit, because I find that the away team is a fantastic thing to have for those people who go to conventions, as well, primarily to keep in touch between the conventions, right?
I love the idea, Michael, and I know that you kind of started it. So I did say to Marina, I said, we should ask him about that just so we can be reminded of what's going on out there.
Well, it's also, it's changed since I think the last time we've talked about it, which was, you know, I don't even know. I think it was maybe 2-3 years ago. But, you know, this kind of started with Vegas. You know, so many great things start with Vegas. And, you know, you get back from it. And the first year I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I got to wait a whole year to get to party and wear costumes and have drinks with friends. And then I think it was 2013 where like five of us in New York City were like, we should get together. And it was at O'Looney's, and it was like five people, me, Darlena, Genesis, and Matt, this guy, Matt, who's a friend of ours, and Aid. There were five of us literally around one table on a quiet Sunday night wearing our costumes. I mean, people probably wondered what the heck are these guys doing? But then it's Times Square, so like, who isn't in a costume there? You know, so it started with that. And then some other friends got interested in, hey, what are you guys doing? And one night we did a, as per time zone that you're in. So we had a group in LA, a group in Texas, and a group in Utah while we were meeting in New York. And then we like FaceTimed each other from across the country, you know, to kind of connect that way. And then my friends over at Trek Movie invited me to write an article about it and how people can do that in their town. And so, you know, at the time there were like 5-6 different groups that we got together. Now there are about 25 or so. They don't all meet regularly. They do different things. Like I, and that's a great thing, is that they kind of take on the identity of that community and that neighborhood. So some are primarily like Star Trek Discovery watching parties. Some are, you know, get together and try and recreate Masquerade, you know, and just recently, I was with DC away team in Washington, DC. And, there were a few of us, all Vegas veterans, by the way, like all Star Trek Vegas friends of ours. And we got together at a pub, in DC. So, yeah, it's grown. I mean, the most successful ones, you know, if there's someone who's ever willing to kind of be the, first officer on the away team, and really all it takes is making a reservation, a commitment to having fun, and then taking a bunch of pictures so, you know, we can make folks feel like they missed out, I guess. And then that drives that drives attendance at the next one. So that's away teams in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Michael, for sharing that. And, you know, like, hopefully as people listen to the podcast, they start thinking about having away teams in their areas. I know I'm now that I'm in Atlanta, I'm kind of trying to see if there's anything that I can get into here, any trouble I can get into in Atlanta.
Oh, I bet there is.
The convention shenanigans, absolutely. No, I love the whole concept of this, because somebody asked me, they're like, well, what's the difference? You know, like there are so many fan groups.
Right.
So many clubs. And I was a part of several, and there are some that I could never get into because it was a little bit too structured for my own taste. you know, I live in New Jersey, I work in the city, very often, you know, the meetups, you'll be like, okay, we do this every other Tuesday or something. I'm like, well, I could be stuck at work or something else. And it's never, it's a bit too much, you know, too much structure. Yeah. Whereas, you know, let's face it. I mean, with the away team, we have pretty flexible, you know, it's, you know, somebody says, let's get together and we do. And then we see each other at conventions all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I that's definitely one thing that I want to make clear is, you know, I there are so many great Star Trek groups and ships out there already that the last thing I wanted to do was try to like take anything away from those institutions. And so, you know, that's actually intentionally why we called it Away Team, is because it is not a ship. There are already many other ships that are awesome and that you can join. This is an away team. So it's like just a piece away from that. And you know, you said something about structure, like this has the least amount of structure possible. Like occasionally we might try and get your attention for like a raffle, you know, where we're giving something away, or like, you know, maybe the bar when they're closing, you know, but other than that, it's just kind of like a wear costumes. And it's, we try to replicate masquerade, I guess, as much as we can.
But at the same time, it could be very useful too. Like that wonderful charity drive that we had for your birthday, that was very nice thing to organize. And it was purely an away team event too.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I definitely have to mention that one of the beauties of Trek is bringing like-minded people together who both care about the future of, you know, humanity, you know, and also which hotel to stay at in Vegas. They care about that a lot. I don't think there's ever a moment where that debate has died down, Gold Coast or Rio, but, you know, also care a lot about humanity and good causes. And so, one of our members, Jessica, like, you know, we met through this and she did a fundraiser for Alzheimer's, and, Lawrence, did a fundraiser for like Red Cross and, you know, anti-bullying kind of stuff. And, so the things that we've been able to kind of do and help each other with together, you know, the birthday thing that you talked about, we collected about 100 canned goods and non-perishable items that'll be donated to City Harvest. So, it's not exactly, like Enterprise going on a relief mission, but it's kind of as close as we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, any sort of last thoughts, I don't know, anything, wanted to bring up again, just to kind of round off the discussion, about Big Apple Con specifically?
No, yeah, it was a great time. I'll probably go again, and it's always fun to see Trek faces there. So hope to see people there at the next one.
Yeah, fantastic. Same thing. I was like I said, it's now on my list of things to keep track of, which is just keeps growing and growing and growing. Well, let's see what's going to happen next year. All right. I guess we're going to be closing down now. Sorry.
And I'll tell you now, Marina, that you and I, you know, we went to London.
Birmingham.
So we should have no reason not to. I should have no reason not to meet up in New York next time there's a convention there. So I'm
going to. You know something. I started to take this in stride. As a matter of fact, Mike, if you remember, you and I met in Vegas as well. Even though we're like literally, what you're in Brooklyn, right?
Actually, I met you, I think, and your sister. That was 2012.
Yeah.
And we live in the city, and you live across the river in Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know,
and it was like it was one of those things. Where, like, that's when I found out about you know, eventually about the away team and everything. I'm like, I didn't even know that this was happening, and it's like literally right next door. So I'll kind of keep it in stride that, you know, I know somebody, and then it through the convention, meet the convention, we have lunch in the convention, we enjoy ourselves, and then, you know, see you next year. And then it turns out to be like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, once I get home or I travel elsewhere, and it turns out like, oh, that person was there all.
Yeah, it's such a small world, but the fun thing is, you know, again, like, I mean, any of these away teams, I've seen a lot of great community and networking, and like I think people have even helped some of our friends move and with projects, and so it's all one big happy fleet, to quote Khan, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do without my Star Trek family all over the place. So I'm happy to be a part of it and to like have, believe it or not, come out of my shell, because I was shyer until I went to my first convention, and then I don't know what you guys did to me, but
and now you're hosting the
I'm very
the
loud
movies
now.
Yeah. the newbies welcome in Arrival at Vegas. That's like your event. So
yeah. And I have to set it up again. So I got a little distracted with my move this year, but I'm settling in. So I'll have you know that the older you get, the harder it is to change. So
yeah, but it's certainly a great event, and I know for a fact that a lot of new members of the unofficial group are really looking forward to that, because I mentioned it to them as that it's a wonderful icebreaker for those who have never been to a convention or just never been to Vegas, period.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we basically at the end, because we covered almost everything I can think of actually about Big Apple Comic Con. And again, Michael, thank you very much for the wonderful away team discussion. So let's finish up then. Michael, where can people find you online?
Yeah, sure. I think the easiest way to find me, one is on Facebook through Michael's Cosplay. I think I'm the only one with that community, that group, or that, I'm sorry, page. And it's a picture of me sitting in the captain's chair of the Enterprise D, the exhibit that came through the Intrepid. So Michael's Cosplay on Facebook. That's the easiest way.
And where can people find you online, Jesse?
So I am at Jesse Okendo, O-Q-U-E-N-D-O. You'll only see one Jesse Okendo in Facebook. And on Instagram and Twitter, I am Outrageous Okendo. It's O-U-T-R-A-J-E-S-O-K-E-N-D-O. And then, of course, if you go to the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas convention group, I'm one of the admins along with Marina. And, of course... look up Shore Leave online and you'll find us there as well.
Yes. And I'm Marina Kravchuk. You can find me on Facebook, my full name, or you can find me on Twitter. The handle is at Drakkorex, Drakkorex. And as Jesse already mentioned, Shore Leave can also be found online at Shore Leave, whether Facebook or on Twitter. All right. Thank you very much for coming, Michael. This was a wonderful discussion. And, let's see what the convention season brings going forward. Hopefully we'll have many more wonderful conventions this year.
Absolutely.
Can't wait for it.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Live long and prosper.
All right. Take care. Keep on tracking.